Don't let the world's expectations fence you in. God's way of life is above and beyond the ordinary. Join Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle as they reveal how to get the Word working in your life. Next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. This is The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just praise you and thank you today for your Word. Oh, my. The Word is final authority in our lives. Whatever you said is true. Whatever you said we are, we are. Whatever you said we can do, praise God, and we can do all things through the anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth who strengthens us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome with me again today, Brother Jerry Savelle. Jerry,
thank you, sir.
Oh, man, it's been a dynamite week.
I tell
you, you stir me up again, man. Praise God. Take us right back into this thing, Jerry. I'm still thinking about that above and beyond. Yeah. And I was thinking about a particular trip I took one time, and the weather wasn't all that bad right where I was. Air was rough and hot, and there were thunderstorms en route, but the clouds where I was really wasn't all that terrible, but the air was rough. Man, I mean just like this. Not dangerous, but just uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It beat you up, you know. Well, I'm sitting on the end of the runway, and I know this is going to happen, and I've already called Glory in the backseat and told her. And I'm thinking, it ain't going to be but a few minutes. I'm going to be up above this stuff.
Yeah, right.
I didn't think about how bad a trip is. Now, I used to before I had an instrument rating. Mm-hmm. I had to stay down here underneath this stuff, and I did this all day long and just beat the sap out of you, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm sitting there on the end of the runway. I'm thinking, man, it ain't no big deal. You know, 6, 7, 8 minutes, I'll be out of here and above that where the smooth air is. And then a little later, we got flying jets.
Yeah.
Then you get to thinking, thunderstorm don't mean anything. They don't go but to about 40,000 feet. I'm going up 43, 45.
Get right on top of
it. Oh, yes, set up there in the beautiful blue sky while they all crying down there on the ground.
Mm-hmm. You know,
glory to God. But I'm thinking about my mindset.
Yeah.
And my mind has been renewed.
Yeah.
Because ground limits have been, over a period of 51 years, have been taken off of me.
Mm-hmm.
I think in an envelope that goes from the surface to now 51,000 feet because the Citation 10 is certified to 51. So my thinking covers that much space. And used to, I was stuck on the ground.
Yeah.
I didn't have money enough for an airline ticket. I'm stuck on the ground, man. Potholes and all, you know.
Right.
I'm stuck with that. So my thinking was just right here. Well, that's what the Word did for me.
Mm-hmm.
I began to see beyond what I could see, what I could feel, what I could hear. And I'm no longer limited to what I can see with these eyes. I learned from Brother Hagin and Brother Roberts to see through the eyes of faith.
Right, right.
I learned to hear God's voice and not just everybody's voice says, you can't do that. God said, yeah, you can. Come on, go with me. That's wonderful, but you get to the point where you begin to think like that.
Yeah.
And that's what's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And the very thing you're talking about with the aviation, of going through those clouds and getting up on top. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about life's adversities and trials and everything. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. And this is one of the scriptures the Lord led me to about the above and beyond life as well.
Yeah.
He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And here he's saying that even though we may be going through some adversity, the good thing about adversity is it don't last forever. It's but for a moment. It's subject to change.
Wow.
And then he says that at the same time that you're going through this adversity, whether you can feel it or not, or whether you can see it or not, something's working. Says that very light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us something that is far greater than the adversity, an eternal weight of glory. In the Amplified, it says that it's preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons. So what God is saying is, if you won't give up in this adversity, that very adversity you're going through will turn out to be one of your greatest victories. Your greatest financial attack, if you won't give up in the middle of it, God will turn it into an above and beyond financial victory.
Well, if it's the greatest attack, it means it's going to be the biggest thing you ever got before.
That's right.
To overcome it.
That's right.
Ah,
compared,
yeah.
You know, the pressure you're under in that adversity, when God turns that thing around, if you won't, he says, for which cause we faint not. If you don't faint in the middle of all that, if you won't give up, then God's going to turn it around. That thing is only going to last for a moment. It can't last forever. It's seasonal. It has a lifespan. And if you won't give up while you're going through it, God is going to cause the pressure you were under to seem minute compared to the victory you're going to have.
Oh, man. But now, wait a minute. Why we look not at things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen.
Yeah.
Now, there's a process here, Jerry, and as these scriptures just begin to jump into out of my spirit, into my mind as you were talking. It's explained in detail in Hebrews 12.
Mm-hmm.
He said, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, the sin which does so easily beset us. In other words, quit looking at that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne on high. Consider him. Fix your mind on him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, for you, in other words, lest you be weary and faint in your mind.
Right.
That's the whole process.
That's the process. And if you're willing to do that, God says, I will turn this thing around and I will cause you to enter into an above and beyond manifestation of my power and my glory that will make what you've been going through seem so small, you'll wonder why you even worried about it to start with.
Yeah, now, Jerry, and hey, you know what? You put this out Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, what Jesus prayed and preached to them in the 17th chapter of John.
Mm-hmm.
If you get that on your mind, Jesus said, God loves me just as much as he does him.
Right.
And I see what he did for me. When he prayed that, he was only a few hours away from going to the cross that's described right here.
Mm-hmm.
If I fix my mind on him, I see him praying that prayer for me. I put that in my, I ain't looking at that other.
Yeah.
Now, turn that TV off unless Brother Jerry, Brother Ken, Brother Creflo, somebody on there. I ain't listening to that other mess. I'm not listening to that. I can't hear that right now. Yeah. I can't hear this I'm broken, beat down right now. No. I'm not looking at that. I'm looking at Jesus. I got my eyes fixed on him. I'm looking at him. I'm considering what he did. He bore my sickness. He bore my disease. He bore my pain. He delivered me from sickness, disease, and fear, and demons. And he bore my poverty and my debt and all that. I got my mind on him. I'm not letting him get off. I'm not looking at that. I'm not saying those words. I'm saying these words. Mm-hmm. Now, you got to activate it, brother, and you got to get tough about it.
Yeah.
Because what the devil's saying to you is tough.
Oh, yeah.
He lying and screaming and hollering every time you turn the TV on. Yeah.
And it's a conscious decision you make. The Bible said about Abraham, he considered not his own body,
mm-hmm.
nor the deadness of mm-hmm. Sarah's womb. Well, you're going to consider not one thing, but you got to consider something else.
Yes, sir.
So I stopped considering what the world says. I'm not going to accept their limitations. When Jesus said, I'm not of this world, I'm not defined by this world, I'm not marked by their boundaries, all right? Whatever they're saying, I consider it not.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't be around, I can't just go around blank. I got to consider something if I'm not going to consider something else. So I'm not going to consider what they say because they're trying to put a limitation on me. But I'm considering what Jesus says, and there's no limitation to what he says.
That's what the Word's supposed to do.
Yeah.
I had cross-referenced that scripture with over there in 2 Corinthians 4. I cross-referenced it with Jeremiah 17. Accursed is a man that trusts and makes his flesh his arm and whose heart departs from the Lord. He'll be like the heath. A heath is a little stunted bush. It can't grow anymore. In the desert. Now listen to this guy. He's not talking about an unbeliever. This is a guy that got his eyes off of the Word and got it on the drought.
Yeah.
Or economic drought or famine, whatever. He's like didn't say he was one, but he's like him.
Mm-hmm.
He got to thinking like him. He got his eyes off the Lord. And shall not see when good comes.
Yeah.
He's too busy looking
That's
at something
right.
else. And his answer comes and he don't see it and he don't hear it. He says, God ain't helping me. And God's beating the guy over the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
But he can't see it.
Yeah.
But shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord brought something in my mind here that I had never thought of before that has to do with what you brought to us yesterday. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. He got his eyes on God.
Yeah.
He'll be like a tree planted by the water that spreads out her roots by the river and shall not see when the drought comes.
Yeah.
He's got his eye on something. He's looking at something
else. Yeah, and it's there, but he's not considering it.
But he don't consider it.
Uh-uh.
Her leaf will be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. He doesn't hoard. He doesn't hold back. Neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This guy is yielding fruit, and he's offering it to this little stunted scrub out there in the desert. But you know what? That little squirt out there in the desert in that salt flat will get mad at that guy because he's doing well. I don't see what he think he is over there and his green leaves are going like this and just going, I ain't going to eat none of his fruit. Mm. Well, just starve to death, you little jerk. I mean, here God has provided you all of this. He's provided you his best. He's provided you everything you need. But you're too smart. He can't see it, Jerry.
No.
He's got his eyes on himself.
Mm-hmm.
That's the big thing.
And he's too locked into the world's
systems. He's locked into the world, and he's seeing himself in the light of that. He sees himself a little bush.
Mm-hmm.
He sees himself a little scrub. You can pour water on him, and it's just salty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but here's the other guy
he's
over there.
He's accepted all the world's limitations.
Yeah, he has.
Yeah. He says, we're in a drought, and we're going to have a drought. There's no way around it.
I'm tribulating whether you like it or not.
I like what the Amplified says there in verse 7 of Jeremiah. It says this guy that's got his mind on God and trusting in God says, most blessed.
Most blessed. Ain't that good?
Most blessed
He's
is
most
this man.
Most blessed.
And it goes on to say, he shall not be anxious nor full of care in the year of drought, and nor shall he cease from yielding fruit.
Right on.
He's not worried about it.
He don't
It's happening all around him,
and
he ain't worried about it.
He'd feed that little scrub if he'd just get his, if he'd come on over here, but he don't want to look at him.
Mm-hmm.
The way it said, read when it said in the 8th verse, shall not see when the drought comes, but her leaf shall be green. How does that word that?
in the Amplified?
It says basically the same thing. It shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green, shall not be anxious, full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease from yielding fruit.
I said, I wondered why it said green leaf. What? Well, here it is in a drought when there's not any rain, but he looks like it's been raining on him all the time because he's got water you can't see. But I wasn't satisfied with it. So I went and looked the Hebrew words up there, translated that. Mm-hmm. It means luxury. Dressed luxuriously. Yeah. He said, look at him in his fancy green leaves standing over there. Yeah. Well, he's doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't go over and get in the shade of his tree.
That's right.
And it's so important for us to remember that the fruit that's hanging on our bough and the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. But all of that blessing hanging on us is for that little guy he's drying up out there in that heat, and he's burning, and he can't get out of it. That's why we're green, and that's why we got fruit to eat. And that's, come on, if we can get him to get his eyes off himself, and then get his eyes off what's going on, and get his eyes on Jesus. And come on over here, man. Yeah. Sit under the shade of my tree here while
I... that's what God told Abraham. I'll bless you, and you'll be a blessing. And years ago, I said, Lord, give me a definition for what a blessing is. And he said, a vessel of God that prevents misfortune in the lives of others. Isn't that great?
Say it again.
It's a vessel of God preventing misfortune in the lives of others. That's what a blessing is. When you're blessed, then not only is your life, your quality of life better, but now you can help prevent misfortune in the lives of others.
A vessel of God that prevents...
misfortune in the lives of others.
Misfortune. Boy, that's good.
He gave me that one time when I was in a meeting one time, and this pastor, little old tiny church, and he asked me he said, Brother Jerry, I'm really embarrassed to ask you to come. He said, we just have about 40 people, but we sure want you to come. I said, I'll come. He said, I don't know about an offer. I said, listen, don't worry about an offering. I'll come and just sow into your lives. Anybody that hungry, you can count on me being there.
Yeah, amen.
And so went down this little church and just had a great time with them. My offering, the pastor's wife made me a pecan pie.
Where'd you say they were?
Yeah. and just sweetest people. And then you remember way back there when there was... big old satellite dishes came out.
Oh, yeah.
And they were doing them satellite seminars.
Yes,
you could
sir.
Hook it up in your church.
I do.
This church was believing for one. Oh, they wanted one of them satellites where they could get that meeting. They wanted your communion service in there.
Yeah, man.
So our ministry bought them one of those satellite dishes so they could get that meeting. And so we had it sent down there, had it hooked up in their church so they could watch that. And so they asked me if I'd come back. And so I went back down there. And this time the pastor said, now, Brother Jerry, you've just been such a blessing to us. And he said, my church, I've been having them receive an offering for you for 6 months. And he said, now, it ain't much, but it's big for our church. And he said, and we don't want this to go to your ministry. We want it to go to you personally. And they had saved up over that 6 months $1,000 and gave it to me. And I said, man, you don't have to give that. I mean, no, this is for you and Sister Carolyn. Whatever you want to do, this is for you. Well, I thanked them and, just really appreciated them wanting to do that. Well, I got home and Carolyn said, I'm so glad you got here before midnight. I said, why? She said, well, there's a family over here about to be put out of their house. If they don't have $1,000 by midnight, they're going to put them out of their house. And they got 4 kids. And they don't know where they're going to go. I said, well, the pastor just gave me $1,000, said it's for me and you personally. Let's take it over there to him. We went over there, and here was these little old kids carrying their dolls out and putting them in the back of the pickup and their little old toys. And they looked up and said, Brother Jerry, what are you doing here? I said, come on, kids, we're not moving tonight. Went in there, and the mom and daddy was packing up everything, and I said, listen, I heard you needed $1,000 before midnight, or your landlord's going to put you out. yeah, Brother Jerry, we just had hit hard times, you know. I said, well, I got the $1,000. Let's go to him. We knocked on his door, handed him the $1,000. And right then the Lord said, now that's what a blessing is. Yeah. You just prevented misfortune in the life of another. So that's what this is all about. Breaking the barriers that the world says we have to live under is not just so you and I can live comfortably. It's so that we can prevent misfortune in the lives of others and show them that they don't have to live by those barriers.
Hallelujah. What could I guess? There's somebody, the word of the Lord just came to me. If you're saying, right, oh man, I'd like to be able to do that. I would love to be able to help somebody like that. That's the first step, is that burning desire to be that person. That will grow. Just start where you are. It may not look like anything to you, but what's little to you, I'm telling you, and somebody else is worse off than you are, and just say, Lord, where can I start? How can I do this? That just take what you have and just do it.
Yeah.
And God, and it'll begin to grow. And that urge in you gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what this is all about. That is the compassion of God. And that's what assets in this natural world are for.
Yeah.
And that's what causes them to come.
Right.
And then you begin to be a part of a ministry, and that begins to grow. And all of you together then are doing things that none of you can do by yourself. And
right.
and that's the way that continues to function. And you need to be a part of a church that's that
way. Well, that's why partnership is so important.
Oh, Jerry.
Because, you know, what my seed into your ministry can do is far greater than what I can do with that seed on my own.
Oh.
Because of the masses of people that you're reaching.
That's what partner means.
That's why partnership is so powerful and
your
so effective.
Part added to my part in the hands of Jesus. Oh.
Yeah. Well, somebody might be watching right now and say, boy, I'd love to do something in Haiti, but what's my little $25 going to do? Well, what about if there's a ministry in Haiti and you hook up with it and other people are supporting it? Now we're looking at the big picture.
Jerry, let me tell you this. Now, listen to this. What would my little $3 do? Well, what if a million people said that and withheld their $3? That $3 million that should be flowing into the kingdom of God because that compassionate urge was in there. That $3 is a seed to 30, and it's a seed to 300, it's a seed to 3,000, it's a seed to 300,000. That's just, God don't know limits on him. No. There won't be any on you if you learn to just sow it.
That's right. And if that's the best you got, then in God's minds, that is significant seed.
Praise God.
Precious seed.
Phew. Brother Jerry and I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Steve and Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. For more information, go to kcm.org.
Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. The Lord instructed us to do that on Galatians 6. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, all through this broadcast today, it kept coming up in me that Brother Jerry is supposed to receive the offering. And so I spoke with him about it during the break. And Jerry, the thing that's heavy on me right now, and you were talking about during the broadcast and the way that just grew up inside me, are people, believers, precious people of God that are calling out to God right now for jobs, for the increase in what job that they do have, or however else the Lord leads you in this. Yeah. But I just had it so strong that you should receive it.
Not too long ago, the Spirit of God took me back to Genesis, and He said, talking about above and beyond, breaking barriers, He said, the two things that I gave man after creating him that guaranteed him no limitations was authority and seed.
Yes, sir.
Authority and seed.
Yes, sir.
When you know you have God-given authority, then nothing on this earth can bind you. You have the authority to bind it. And seed knows no limits. God said to Adam, behold, I've given you dominion and authority, and behold, I have given you seed. The first two things God gave him, authority and seed. And with a revelation of authority and seed, nothing on this planet can restrict or limit you. You can sow your way out of poverty. You can sow your way into prosperity. And you know you have the authority to do it. Then your seed, all of a sudden, is not just a few dollars here now. It is a barrier breaking tool in your hands.
Yeah.
And that's what many of you need to do right now. Some of you need to break that barrier of debt and poverty and recession over you. And the best way to do it is with your God-given authority and your seed. Take seed right now, lay it in your hands and say, this is a barrier-breaking tool that God has given me. He's given me the authority to determine my own destiny by the seeds I sow. And you sow it into this ministry and just watch what God will do. He's going to break the back of your enemy where your finances are concerned.
Praise God. Two or three times in this broadcast day, I thought about a man very close to you and me. But before I ever met him, we started getting $1 a day back there.
Well,
you remember
it?
We got $1 a day. And I thought, $1 a day? Every day, $1 a day, $1 a day.
Even if it was a dollar and change.
I mean, get his pennies, anything, but it's $1 a day. And he got to where everybody in the ministry, where's our dollar today, man? When, years later, he told me, he said, when I began to do that, he said, my entire income for that year was less than $2,500. Mm-hmm. He said, we were in poverty.
Yeah.
And he said, I began to do that. And before he went home to be with the Lord, he became a very wealthy man.
Yeah, yeah.
What a thrill. His testimony was so vibrant, it would just shake you.
And his kids grabbed hold of that.
Oh,
they're still sowers today.
They're still partners of this ministry, too. I love them. Glory to God. Listen, God bless your dear heart. We receive and we release our faith with you. Thank you, Brother Jerry.
Praise God.
You coming back Monday?
I'll be back.
We'll be here. We'll see you then. This is Kenneth Copeland, Jerry Savelle reminding you, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, visit kcm.org.